And that was the Beatles, A Hard Day's Night. And as I said before the song came on, that was released in the UK in 1964 on this day in history. Just so you know that. That's an important thing to know. And I'm now here with Andrea Marcaccio.
Marcaccio, yes.
Marcaccio from Matchwood Brewing. And you're one of the organizers of the Oktoberfest that's coming up this Saturday.
Yes.
October 11th. And we're going to hear all about it because it sounds very exciting.
Yeah, it's so exciting. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, well, thanks for being here. You saved me from having to keep talking.
Well, happy to be here. I do know how to talk, so that'll be good.
Yay. So we want to hear all about that. But I want to say first, Matchwood Brewing, and before we started this interview with you, I was talking to the listeners about what keeps KRFY on the air. One of the most important things is our underwriters and Matchwood Brewing. Brewery or brewing?
Matchwood Brewing Company. Yep.
Right. Is one of our very good and wonderful and sustaining underwriters. And thank you so much.
Yeah, we really believe in what you guys do here. And my in-laws live in Knox in Montana. And my mother-in-law told me a story once that she was listening to local radio when she was alone raising three kids, kind of in the rural part of Montana. And she says it saved her life. It was her only friend at that time. So I think the radio is a powerful tool.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
What a wonderful statement. And I'm sure you listened to a lot of radio as a child growing up. And you're also the owner of Matchwood Brewing.
I am. My husband and I are co-owners. We started it. We're celebrating our seventh year in October this year.
I remember when it started over there, it was just this big warehouse that Steve Holt converted, you guys bought probably.
We worked with them on kind of like what is a long-term agreement. They helped us with the build out because they had so many great skills. And now we've been there and open for 7 years, and it feels like, some days it feels like 2 days and some days it feels like 20 years. So,
right. Okay. So what else about Matchwood, since you're an underwriter, and we can talk about, you know, you just said why you support community radio, but a little bit about Matchwood Brewing.
Yeah, so we believe that beer is kind of a unifier and that it floats all boats, and the more beer, the better. And at Matchwood Brewing Company, we kind of combine a couple of things. We want to have really high quality beer and food, and then also create a great experience where our guests can come together and chat. You know, we don't have TVs. It's a place where we want people to look each other in the eye and do that human connection thing that is, you know, slowly slipping away with the use of our phones. So doing great. And we love our community and we like to serve it. So our mission really says to give back, and that's what we do.
Well, fantastic. And again, thank you for being a KRFY underwriter.
Yeah, of course.
So let's get into why you're here.
Yeah.
Oktoberfest. How many years has this been going on?
Well, the Oktoberfest that we've been hosting at the Grenou, this is the third annual. And I want to give credit to folks. I think there's been other Oktoberfest celebrations, either at independent orgs or businesses across town. But this one is meant to bring together the craft beer industry. And so 3 years ago, actually, Duffy from McDuff's approached us and said, hey, you guys got a good space. Do we want to try to put together a larger scale Oktoberfest? And we said, yeah, that sounds great. And so this year we have a number of breweries from both Sandpoint, Priest River, and from Coeur d'Alene who will be joining us. We can talk about that in a minute. But so that's kind of how it started. And now it's grown into kind of its identity of what a true Oktoberfest is. We like to call it the last hurrah of the good weather. It looks like we may have some rain in the forecast, but, you know, we like to say rain or shine, we'll fill your stein.
Oh, great. That sounds good. So it's at the Granary District, in case there's Granary Arts District.
Yeah, that is the technical term. We call it the Granary District, or, you know, old timers, I think, who have been around a long time, Steve Holt call it the Granary Arts District. So, you know, all inclusive.
And where is that? In case someone's listening and doesn't know.
The physical address of Matchwood, which is located there as well, is 513 Oak Street. But it's right between Evans Brothers and Matchwood. If you aren't good with street names or numbers, you can look for the grain elevator, which is the downtown, you know, tallest building downtown. Used to be part of the co-op, and that's really the central focus of the Granary District.
I've been here so long, I remember when it was the co-op. Or there was the little building where Evans Brothers is that was the co-op at the time.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, there's a lot of history in that building. And, you know, the stage outside at Matchwood, that kind of big rusty metal structure is a molasses silo, which farmers used to back their, you know, truck up, get feed at the co-op, and then they'd back it up under the molasses silo to increase the caloric value of their purchase. So, yeah, we've got a lot of history over there.
That's something I did not know. That's great. And you mentioned, well, we'll talk about the breweries that are coming. But when you think of Oktoberfest, you think German, you think steins of beer flowing and a celebration. So why don't you take us through what this day might look like or is going to look like?
Yeah, sure. So we'll get started early in the morning, getting set up and ready for everybody. And we've this year partnered with the YMCA, Lighthouse YMCA, which is our local YMCA here, as the beneficiary of the event. So the most important piece of information that listeners should know is that this is a benefit that puts dollars right back into our community. And YMCA will be there with us bright and early getting set up. So we'll have a very large tent and we will be decorating it and getting ready for the noon open. So Oktoberfest starts at noon and runs until 6 p.m. And I can quickly kind of go over what the day looks like. So we'll have a beer garden, which will be filled with our local breweries, Matchwood Brewing, McDuff's Brewing, Utara Brewing, Timbertown Brewing, and then Vantage Point Brewing. If you haven't been there, they're down from Coeur d'Alene. And our great folks and are coming up this year to round out our offerings. And then Black Forest Bakery, which is also just south of Sandpoint, is a traditional German dessert and cake maker company. And they will have traditional German and Bavarian sweets, Lubchecken, and I can't say this German, but it's the Black Forest chocolate cake, which everybody comes for. So if you're curious about them, you can find them on Instagram just by searching Black Forest Bakery CDA. And that's a hit every year. People line up, get their beer, and then head over and get some sweets. Matchwood hosts what is like a traditional Bavarian and German food station. And this year we'll be partnering with Bluebird Bakery. They made us some fresh Brötchen, which is a German traditional bun. It doesn't look like a hot dog bun. It looks like a true kind of handmade bun. And then you stick a really big brat in there. So the brat sticks out the ends and then you can get more mustard on there. And so Bluebird's making those up, I think, fresh for us in the next couple days. And we'll have brats. We make a house sauerkraut, which is spiced and delicious. We'll have hand-pounded schnitzel sandwiches topped with kraut and beer cheese. We sold out of those very quickly last year. And then our kind of locally famous beer pretzels with beer cheese and German mustard will be available. And we just say get in line early for the food. We do make a certain amount. The brats, I think we sold over 250 last year in about 3 hours. So we did increase our numbers to try to make that go longer into the evening. But if you're looking for the German food, I'd say come a little bit earlier. It is a bring your own stein event. We don't order a ton of steins. We feel like there's a lot out there and we say go support your local thrift store. If you get over to the Better Together Animal Alliance, they've got some steins out. Bring a stein. 21 plus attendees can fill that with beer at any of the beer stations. And then we have a bunch of activities. So I'll pause and see. Maybe I forgot something. I don't think so, but I can go over the activities that we're going to do.
I think that would be great.
Awesome. So a couple like kind of competitive, good-natured competitive activities, which is our Stein race. So groups of two sign up, and there is an obstacle course that is slightly ambitious, but not too tenuous. And you carry two steins full of water through the obstacle course at whatever speed or clip you can do it. There's kind of two strategies. One is go slow and savor the water because the goal is to fill the vessel at the end of the race. And it takes a couple trips between you and your partner. So some people run as fast as they can and spill a bunch, but get more trips in, and others go slow and steady. And we've seen both be successful. And that's really fun. And we let folks who are 18 plus do that race because there's just water in the steins. And then we have a Stein holding contest, which is kind of the traditional arm out, see how long you can hold a full 2 liter Stein of beer. And, you know, our first year, I think Mike Clark, he's a kind of local celeb over at Evans Brothers. I think he held his for over 6 minutes, and it was shocking to watch how much strength that took. So it is actually a pretty physical pursuit. Men and women are invited to participate together, and that'll be really fun. And then we have the best dressed of Oktoberfest, so don your lederhosen and dirndls, and the crowd, by applause, will select a youth best dressed during the day around 3 p.m., and then in the evening we'll do an adult best dressed. And families can enter that competition together, which is really great. And then we have cornhole and hammerschlagen as well.
What's hammerschlagen?
Oh, man, it's a great tradition, a stump of wood, hammers and nails. There's lots of different house rules in which you can play, but usually you kind of set your nail up and you get a single motion swing to kind of land your nail. The first one to land the nail, like, you know, square and flat, is kind of the winner. And then the last shall not be spoken of. It's really fun. You can play in groups and it's really, really just a kind of beer drinking fun game. Yeah, and then we'll have family-friendly activities. So bounce house, as long as the weather holds up. There is one caveat there that if it's pouring rain, the bounce house probably will not be put up because it's a safety issue, but we're doing our best. And then we have a local face painter, and then we'll have flower crown making for kids, which is really great, kind of a German tradition. And then, of course, I got to mention our awesome live music. So we've got Waterhouse, which is a really great local gentleman who is acoustic and just lovely and always impresses us. And then Thrown Out Bones, which is a traveling band from the Bay Area. And they're a bit rowdier, so they're going to get the party started later in the evening from 4 to 6. So bring your dancing shoes. Yeah, and then Lighthouse YMCA will be there to do a couple fundraising activities. There'll be a raffle of some sort. They'll have a table which you can check in. They're going to be managing all those games and races, their volunteers and team. So check out the YMCA Lighthouse table and station to learn how you can contribute to the fundraising portion of the event.
I see one thing listed on your press release, YMCA Raise the Paddle. Did you already talk about that?
I didn't. I think they're going to do kind of like a crowd-pleasing, does anyone here have $10 that they can give to the YMCA? And if you commit, then you can go and give that gift directly to them. So it's a bit of a way to like quickly engage the crowd to think about generosity and financial donations.
I see your little logo here. Rain or shine will fill your stein. So this is pretty cool.
Yeah,
how did it go last year?
Oh, we had, I think, about 1,200 people showed up over the course of the 6 hours. So we were busy. We poured a lot of beer and people were really stoked. I think I'm hoping that if it does rain, folks can get under that. You know, we have a large tent and Matchwood has a pretty big indoor space and covered patio. So it'll still be great. We just want people to still show up in their best dressed outfits.
If people want to find out more about this, because you have an extensive schedule here that I'm looking at.
Yeah.
Where can they go?
All of the breweries are tagged on kind of a social media post that has the schedule publicly. And then you can go to the Reader. They have it listed as well. And then I think there'll be a story both in the Daily Bee and the Reader kind of highlighting the schedule. So check those out.
Is there a website to go and...
It's not on the website. It's not its own event. It doesn't, you know, it's not independent. So, but social media would has all that information.
Let's just talk a moment about the Lighthouse YMCA.
Yeah, of course.
They're also underwriters at KRFY.
Oh, so what a symbiotic. Yeah, of course. Amazing. Yeah. So if folks don't know, Lighthouse YMCA is located right in downtown Sandpoint. It's a destination for families, teens, and youth for North Idaho. They've got a great facility. They've got a pool, steam room, all the things, plus all of the exercise equipment you can imagine, and then a ton of programs and classes to teach different skills for all ages. And it's a membership-based, kind of traditional gym membership-based, but they do something that's really neat, unlike a lot of private gyms. They have a sliding scale, so it's income-dependent. So if you are... in a situation where you're making a lower amount of money or taking in less money than I think it's $55,000 in a combined household, then you can have a lower membership fee. And for us, affordability and access to health and wellness is really kind of the driving factor for why we partnered with the YMCA. And as we head into this dark and stormy time, it's important that people have outlets no matter what their income level is.
I wondered what the connection is, and you said it well. Can you say that again? Because I didn't quite get it.
Yeah, just that we're really excited to partner with the YMCA so that there's affordable access to health and wellness programs for everyone, no matter their income level.
Perfect. Well, anything else you want to say? This is the, we're talking with Andrea
Marcaccio.
Marcaccio.
The most German name around.
And we're talking about Oktoberfest that is this Saturday, October 11th at the Granary District. It sounds, and you're partnering with Lighthouse YMCA. They're actually benefiting a great cause to participate in, but the fun is the factor, right?
Oh, yeah. We'll be having a great time. So come on over noon to 6 p.m.
Okay. Andrea, thank you so much for coming in, and we will put on a song while you exit, and I bring in my next guest, Brian Jacobs, the new KRFY station manager, as
amazing.
I exit
Woo!
On Friday.
What a big day.
I know.
We love Brian. Good job, Brian. Congrats.
All right. So we're going to listen to Gillian Welch and Dave Rawlings. I want to sing that rock and roll. I do, don't you? Here you go, and we'll be right back. Stay with us and meet our new station manager, Brian Jacobs. And that was Gillian Welch and Dave Rawlings, a great duo. I want to sing that rock and roll, one of my favorite songs by Gillian Welch and Dave Rawlings. And we're back live in the studio. This is the morning show. Today is Wednesday, October 8th. And I am back here with somebody I've been spending a lot of time with as we transition Brian Jacobs into the new station manager here at KRFY. Thanks for coming in, Brian. Good morning.
Good morning, Susie. Yes, we have been spending some quality time together, and I've been enjoying myself.
One thing I want to say, and I don't want to embarrass you, but I was very nervous about handing over this gigantic piece of cake, we'll call it, to I didn't know who, but as soon as you started training, I went, relax, he's got it. You're really astute in getting and pulling in this information. You're going to be great at the job. And I'm really grateful that you said yes to the job.
Well, I appreciate the accolades there, Suze. That's very kind of you. And I appreciate the vote of confidence from you and the entire KRFY board of directors, because I'm looking forward to what this has in store for the future and in keeping KRFY vibrant.
And it's important. We'll talk a little bit about why KRFY is here, the importance of it, and how it sustains and supports our community in so many ways. But I want to hear a little bit more about you first, because this is your introduction
sure.
to the Wednesday morning listeners. And this interview will be on our website later in the morning so that you can listen to it if you can't hear it all today. So why don't you start by telling our listeners a bit about who you are, your background, and why this job really kind of sparked your interest. Again, I'm talking with Brian Jacobs, new station manager here at 88.5 KRFY, our community radio station.
Sure. I guess first and foremost, I'm a husband and a father. I have three glorious children, Nina, who just turned three, Jackson, who will be 9 next weekend, and Elsa, who will be 14 next month. From the business side of things, or from my background a little bit, I've been in Sandpoint for a little over 13 years now. And for the last 10 years, almost 10 years, I've worked just downstairs here from the radio station for Evergreen Realty. And that's in that position, I picked up a lot of the traits and a lot of the knowledge that actually work to my benefit as taking over as the station manager. I've served on the Selkirk Association of Realtors Board of Directors as the president for the past couple of years, as well as the Selkirk MLS president in the past. And in those roles, while they might not directly correlate with community radio, have taught me a lot of the tools that I've needed to operate from a nonprofit as well as a business standpoint. Switching over and how that works with the radio, I'm also a local musician. I've spent basically all the years that I've had in Sandpoint playing around at all the local establishments and watering holes and restaurants that bring in the locals on the weekends. And hopefully I've come across a lot of our listeners in those 13 or so years. And, you know, the first time that I was asked by you to come into the radio station and perform live, it was kind of a it was kind of awe-inspiring for me. I look at myself as a local yokel kind of guy that just likes to get out and play, and it's my fun activity. And knowing that there is a vessel for the locals to get out here and perform and, you know, connect with people on a different wavelength is really special. So, and I guess the last thing I'd touch on is I have done a little sound engineering in my past also. So you put all these things together and you tie them into a bow. And I felt like I was a good fit to kind of fill your shoes here, Suze, and, you know, keep KRFY going strong.
So one of the things that impressed me during your interview process is the fact that you want to bring in more music and more local and younger folks into the station, which we're always glad about.
Sure.
Us old folks kind of put it together, but we love the young people and all your musical excitement. And how does music live in your life? Just take a little side trip here.
Oh, geez. I mean, it's something that I use as that's my decompression tool. You know, I have a little studio set up in my garage where I can go out and, you know, pluck away, whether I'm trying to do some writing, which I haven't done enough of in my life, but, you know, learn what I'm going to play for my next gig coming up, wherever that may be. You know, my children have spent time at the Sandpoint Music Conservatory. We actually have, through, you know, another generous donor in town to one of our great organizations, we have a full-size upright piano in our home that was given to us to hold and have as long as we need it from the Music Conservatory. So it kind of fills our lives. You know, we have little Amazon Alexas in most of the rooms in the house. And, you know, even Nina at 3 years old knows how to go yell at Alexa and tell it to play, you know, Baby Shark, if that's what she's wanting to feel that morning. So
what a great way to raise children up. I'm just going to do this quote again, because I love it. It's by Albert Einstein. Mm-hmm. And I think it fits into what you're saying. He said, "If I were not a physicist, I would probably be a musician. I often think in music. I live my daydreams in music. I see my life in terms of music." And it's the best thing.
Yeah.
It's a good thing.
I didn't hear you mention that one as I was commuting this morning, but I have heard that quote in the past. It resonates.
It's one of my favorites. So, well, let's see. You've been transitioning in this position as station manager for a few weeks now. What do you see will be the fun part of the position, and what do you see will be a bit challenging?
Yeah, so I can give you a specific example. You know, I remember growing up as a kid, you know, my parents were musicians. We always had a house full of music as well. But I always thought it was so cool when you turn on the radio station, whichever one it was, and you'd always hear people calling in and talking and chatting with the DJs, or what was that song, or I really want to hear this one. And there was a day earlier in the week where I came in and we had a voicemail on our station phone here, and a lady had called in and left a message saying that she doesn't always listen to radio. She's more of a podcast and spoken word listener. However, she found herself listening to 88.5, and there's a song came on she wasn't aware of, and she left a message. She told us when that we played it, and to be able to get back to her, tell her what the song was, make that connection in the community. It may seem minuscule on its surface, but that's kind of the heart of what we're doing. That's how we make that connection and being able to interact with the listeners. So that to me, that side of it, being able to have that back and forth is going to be really exciting for me.
One of the things that we don't do here is do live call-ins,
sure.
But what you just described is a possibility. We also have on our website at KRFY.org a playlist. I'm pretty sure it's functioning right now, that says what songs are playing. If it's Otto's Eclectic Mix, that's
sure.
pretty much during the day. If it's a podcast kind of, what do we call it, coming from outside a show, then we don't know what the song, we don't have a list of their
sure.
playlist. But we do everything we can, and that woman called, and you were able to answer her question, which is really cool. Engagement is what I'm hearing you say.
Correct.
And I just want to tell our listeners, well, we have an amazing program schedule. I said this earlier when Andrea was here. But it's on our website at KRFY.org, and it really is quite astounding. And in purple are the local broadcasters. And just for a moment, you're going to get to know everyone quite well.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the heart and soul of what goes on in the studio, is the local broadcasters dedicated to their shows year after year after year. So what do you see in the program schedule?
Well, I see a lot of people who are passionate about what their, you know, their niche is. Mm-hmm. You know, we have a wide variety of broadcasters at this point. We have, you know, between Jim's folk show, which he is all about, and Terry doing the metal playlist. You know, we're kind of touching all the bases here. So I think that my goal would be to keep what we have and just invite more and more people to come in, do the broadcast training, so they know that they're operating within the confines of how we have to operate here at 88.5 KRFY, and, you know, add their own unique mix to it, because that's really what we're about.
If you look at the program schedule, it is pretty eclectic, the live KRFY broadcasters, but there's plenty of room for new, and I think about Russ's show,
yeah.
Make You a Mixtape.
Yeah.
It has such a unique process to that. Do you ever listen? I mean, what do you think about that show?
I think that's great, and that kind of speaks to the format that I really think I would enjoy. You know, we obviously can't just take people calling in and say, hey, play this song, because we don't know if it's going to meet the guidelines of what we can put on the air. But to be able to have these shows where people can contribute to them, so that we can vet the music and make sure it's appropriate, and then be able to maybe, you know, give some shout outs to those people who suggested these things, you know, that's the kind of interaction that I think that would go a long way for us. So like Russ's show kind of already tries to do that a little bit, and some more of that I think would go a long way.
I know that Bob Hahn on Saturday nights from 5 to 7, he does the 50s and 60s show. He shuts off the mic and lets people call in. And so it's not live over the air.
Sure.
But he takes down their requests, and then he'll look for it and play it if he can find it in our massive library of music.
Yeah. And to speak to that a little bit, that may sound simplistic in nature, but that takes some coordination for somebody to be able to manage what's actually on the air, take those calls. You know, he's juggling a few circus balls there in order to make that happen. And so let's not forget that these folks are putting in some good work and doing it on their time.
Right. Well, so when I took over this kind of gigantic job, I call it, in, was it 2012, one of the things that really mattered to me was that we had well-trained, I call it certified, but meaning that they're well-trained and they can do this on their own. All of our broadcasters, as I said before, are volunteers, but they also engineer their shows for
Correct.
Themselves.
Yeah.
And so I established a training that worked in that way. And for a long time, it was just me. And now it's Jack Peterson behind the board, teaching people how to run the board, so the technical production part of it. But the first part of the training, which is, you know, if someone is listening right now and you're interested in maybe coming in and doing the training, I think we have one scheduled for the 29th of October.
Well, yeah, we do have one coming up. I believe that's the date. I'm glad you touched on that, because if you hadn't, I was going to mention it. I mean, anybody who's interested in pursuing some volunteer broadcasting for 88.5 KRFY Community Radio, please reach out to me. My email address is bjacobs, J-A-C-O-B-S, at krfy.org. And we'll get you set up, and you know, we'll try our best to do the training a couple times a year. We do need to have enough people to make it meaningful for the station and make sure that we're vetting these broadcasters appropriately. But I would look forward to hearing from anybody who is interested in doing something like that.
We have guidelines from the FCC that we go over at these trainings. So the first part of the training is an orientation. What organization are you coming into? Who are we? And then how you can fit in. You can have your own program, or you can be in what I call a volunteer at large, because Julie Przinski and the events committee have all kinds of things planned with you and Jack for the coming up, our big Christmas extravaganza, our fun drive at the end of in December at some point in time. We do need more volunteers, and it's fun. You know, they're a fun group.
And to that point, I want to give my wife some credit here, because she likes to say something. If you heard that message and you go, man, that would be fun, but I don't know if I could pull it off, or I don't know if that's something I would do well. And my wife likes to say something to me and the kids all the time, you do it and do it scared, but do it.
Right. Exactly.
So, and it doesn't matter your background, because quite frankly, if you reached out and wanted to be in this upcoming broadcast training, I'm going to be sitting right here alongside of you, because I have to go through it just like everybody else.
That's right.
So,
we make it possible so that you feel comfortable if you do take on a show or just become a volunteer.
Correct.
All right. Yeah. So just so our listeners know, this is 88.5 KRFY, your community radio station, and I'm Susie Prez here on the Wednesday morning show, and I'm talking with Brian Jacobs, the new station manager. I'll probably still kind of stay here on the Wednesday, but coming up for the next 4 weeks or so up until the election, Chris Bessler, my co-host, will be providing local decision 2025 fall interviews with candidates who are in contested races. So you can tune in on Wednesday morning for that to find out right from the candidate what's coming up. So, Brian, what else do we want to talk about? I made you a list of questions.
Sure.
I have one.
Go ahead, Susan.
How do you see KRFY? Why it's such an important part of our community and how it helps our community thrive. What are the benefits you see to having a full-powered FM radio station based on community? And we are a nonprofit, by the way.
Yeah.
Commercial-free.
I think that the mission statement for KRFY kind of tells the story. I touched on it earlier, how much it meant to me as just a local musician who had the opportunity to come in here and sit down and right in the chair that I'm sitting in right now with my guitar and play a few songs. And, you know, this isn't just full power FM. This is worldwide streaming. So, you know, I grew up in North Mississippi and in southwestern Tennessee. And the first time I was on KRFY, I had friends from back home that were hearing me play my music for the first time in over a decade. So that's pretty special.
That is so cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Streaming makes things really interesting.
Yeah.
Recently, we had a guest DJ and kind of famous person. And we had people listening from all over the world.
Yeah.
Denmark. I was getting notices from Denmark. So that's fun. That's an amazing technological advancement that makes life interesting.
Yeah, and the streaming aspect of it is something that will help carry us into the future. I mean, you know, one of the things that you mentioned earlier, but we didn't touch on it, the challenges of operating a community radio station. You know, and the first thing that jumps out to me is like, who's actually listening to radio? And you know, everything is Spotify, everything is YouTube, and everything is, you know, on demand and instant gratification. And so,
and kind of sterile in a way.
It very much so. In a couple of weeks being here, I've likened it to how people feel about music as a whole nowadays, and musicians as a whole, guitar players, people who play melodies as almost some people would call it a dying breed. But what I've grown to realize is that the people who appreciate that kind of music versus music that's created on a computer, clicked to a grid. Those people are the most passionate fans, and those might not be filling up stadiums to listen to people, but they are the most dedicated. And I liken that to the listeners to a community radio station. So that's been pretty powerful to see the response and the interaction we get from the community on a daily basis here as I've been transitioning here with you.
Right. So there's a picture of what you're up against. There's a lot of details too, and
sure.
It's just nitty gritty work. We just finished our auction, and I did earlier give a shout out to everyone who donated and everyone who bid. But so just for a second, we only have a little bit of time left. From your experience so far, how important is it, and what have you experienced as the different ways that KRFY thrives and functions financially?
Well, you can look at it in a very simplistic fashion in that we don't function without the support of the community. That is our 100% source of operation here. And we try to do a lot of different activities through the year and events to help bolster that. But something that I realized early on in my time here was that, you know, all it takes is a small donation, whether it's monthly or one time. Those things keep us thriving. We get, you know, it kind of puts a little smile on your face to open up an envelope and it's a check that comes monthly. And it might be $5, it might be $15, whatever the listeners are able to do. We really appreciate all of it. And so I would encourage everybody to look out, you know, for events like our auctions where you might end up with something that is a benefit to you as well, but is going to help us out in the long run. And also, as I was going to touch on here, I know Susie mentioned it in the first half of the hour, a massive amount of appreciation for people like Darwin Jensen and Penny Lane who have donated these two vehicles, the 1965 Thunderbird and the 1990 MX-5 Miata. Both of these cars are in my driveway right now. My wife would love to see them go to a new home. I won't get too deep into it, but I'll tell you that, you know, the 65 Thunderbird is a great car that, you know, you could easily take it home and start driving it through the parade and lost in the 50s and enjoy this vehicle. Darwin kept it up meticulously, put a lot of time and energy into it. He had it for a long time. And at the end of the day, there's a lot of details and a lot of history to it. You can reach out to me directly. My number is 208-610-3188. If you have any questions about the vehicle, and same with the Miata, you know, a friend of mine who was interested in it and just wasn't in a position to pull it off right now described it as a skateboard with an engine. And it is. It's fun. There, right. You know, you put the top down. It's got two seats in it, and it's a great little get around. Both vehicles are in great shape. So
we really, really thank Darwin and Penny for making the donation of the cars. And you can become part of sustaining the station by thinking about maybe buying these cars, one or both or whatever. But that is another way. That's a unique way to support the station. We also have our underwriters, and we just talked with Andrea Macasio from Matchwood Brewing and the Lighthouse, and they're doing Oktoberfest on Saturday. But all of our underwriters are listed on our webpage, KRFY.org. And, you know, when you do go into Matchwood or Utara, another underwriter, just thank them for being a KRFY underwriter because it matters. It's how we. And then, of course, as you already mentioned, I like those monthly checks that come in. Also the big ones, that matters too. So you can donate at KRFY.org. There's a donate button. And or you can send us a check. You can send it to KRFY, P.O. Box 2465, Sandpoint 83864. Anything works. And it's great. The community has really stepped forward and said yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
To community radio.
We have open minds around here. If there's something that you have or a way that you think you could be of benefit that might feel like it's a little unique, you know, give me a shout here at the station and we'll see if we can make it happen. And we appreciate all the support.
Brian is on board. He is on call and he is ready to go and he is already going. So thank you, Brian, so much for coming in. Everyone, say hi to Brian. He's a great guy. Can't wait. And I'm on my way out, and I have appreciated my 14 years here at the station, whatever, 13 years. And so there you go. You picked a song to go out with. We're not going to get to hear the whole song. Unfortunately, we kept talking.
Yeah.
But this is the Grateful Dead Breakdown Palace by the Grateful Dead. Brian, thank you so much for stepping up.
Thanks, Susie. Appreciate you.
Yep.